You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Welcome back to the show. It's another week of Lightning hockey that we get to recap, and a pretty darn good week for the Bolts. Right back on track into the win column again, picking up some points here. Got a lot to talk about. Welcome everybody in who's joining with us live. Welcome you guys in. Don't forget, throw your comments down below. Join the conversation. It's going to be a ton of fun. We get a lot to talk about. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
What a good week for hockey, and coming into the most magical time of the year, that is Gasparilla season. Didn't take me long to already mention that, right? I'm hyped. I'm doing great. Not to mention the holdover music before the intro, you know, kind of got me psyched as well. Yeah, Jake wasn't a fan.
Even after a great week of hockey, it's going to be hard to top that AI Dragon Force cover, whatever it was. It was great, though. Three Stanley Cups later, they can kiss our...
Yeah, it was something, that's for sure. Listen, we're excited, though. It's going to be a lot to talk about with all the games. The Carolina Hurricanes, Boston Bruins, Devils, Penguins. We'll do our three stars of the week. We'll take a look at the upcoming stuff here for the Lightning as well. But with that said, let's get right into it. Oh, Tippy, he liked it. That intro was fire. By the way, I also saw this comment here from him as well. He said, if I don't see Morgan, I'm raging. So, Matt, you're going to have to...
She's banished to the outside of the room.
Oh, no, she got banished. Well, probably no. we already got some comments here from Gasparilla we got to get to. Daniel said, how much money did you guys spend on the new Gasparilla merch? None, actually. I briefly looked at it. I wasn't crazy. I've been disappointed because ever since the NHL took away the jerseys and the pregame stuff, the Lightning really don't do much more with it anymore. They did one last year, but it takes the fun out of it for me, which is such a bummer. I want the Gasparilla night back. We did see a fan mock-up of a Gasparilla jersey that we all went crazy over in our own private chat. I got to find it again, but it was absolutely amazing, and I want that Gasparilla jersey made. Oh, my goodness. Daniel says not enough ads on it. Oh, actually, the ad amount was very, very good. So, guys, from the Gasparilla stuff.
Yeah, I think that the hats were pretty cool. It's like the glowing eyes, essentially. You know, they're just kind of smaller tweaks from last year. But I don't know. I'm a sucker, so I'll probably buy at least one thing or two before it's said and done.
Yeah, I've got a game coming up on Thursday, so I'm sure last year I think I spent like $120 on the merch, maybe. I got to assume it's probably going to be rivaling that amount next year, especially because my Gasparilla jacket from last year got ruined. Somebody threw up on it at a party, so I do need to re-up, yes. Oh, yeah. Nobody would confess to it either, so I'm kind of bummed. It wasn't me, I know that, but I will be getting a new Gasparilla hoodie, I can tell you that.
Well, if you're not into the Gasparilla stuff like me, I know another place you can go get some, pick up some great Lightning merch, and that's shop.rblrsports.com. Also got Lightning, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, you name it, awesome team-inspired merch. You guys can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your orders as well. A little bit of an early ad read today, but I had to get that one in there. All right, let's get into some of the games, guys, that we got to talk about. I do want to mention, too, quickly, Gage Gonclaves, he was sent down on waivers, so waiting to see if he's going to clear. But we do probably expect, hopefully, JJ Moser may be coming back. We'll get that more into when we get into the previews, because he was on this road trip. But let's start with the Hurricanes. Lightning taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. They win this one by a final score of 3-2. So a close game, a fun game. This was the rescheduled game, by the way, for the Lightning that was supposed to take a place on opening day. That was supposed to be their home opener. Brandon Hagel gets us started in the first period. Hurricanes bounce back. It's a 1-1 game. Lightning take a 2-1 lead. Late on the power play, Paul literally scores with 1 second left. And again, back and forth, 2-2 in the third. And then point, he scores late on a magnificent goal in the third period, giving the Lightning a 3-2 lead, and they do hold on to win this one. So a good start to the week, guys, against the Carolina Hurricanes, who are not a bad hockey team.
Yeah, what a play by Kucherov in order to get point open in front. That was just, you know, he's always got such great vision of the ice. Like, he's got eyes in the back of his head, on the side of his head, sewn into his jersey somehow, because he sees everything, even when you're watching from, like, an overhead view and you don't see a play. He somehow still sees it and makes it happen. And that was one of them where, you know, basically just firing it into the slot right to Braden Point, who had to do some magic himself, going essentially, like, kind of skating backwards, going backhand and forehand and burying it for you know, I thought it was kind of like a magical goal right there. That was a pretty special one.
Yeah, this game sent me through a lot of different emotions. Like, it was very hard fought through both teams. It wasn't necessarily high scoring, but there were some chances for both teams. The first goal the Hurricanes scored, that backhander that beat Vazzy, it was kind of an ugly goal, probably the only really bad goal he let up all week, which is a good thing too. But it seemed like in the last couple minutes of the game, like the last 5 minutes of the game, the Lightning were doing everything they could to lose this game, and then just a miraculous play from Braden Point, from Nikita Kucherov, to send us up and send us home with 52 seconds left in the game. It sent me through a range of emotions, but overall, you know, I'll take this win any day of the week against a really, really good team like Carolina.
Yeah, and both the goals scored by Carolina in this game, by the way, off of the faceoff, or very soon after the faceoff. So something interesting to note in that game. Comment here from Daniel, heck of a job by Point to spin and catch that puck. It was a great play, and it was a really exciting one, especially late in the game. You know, a game you thought was probably going to go to overtime, but the Lightning ended up getting a big 2 points out of that.
I was going to say, since you mentioned the faceoffs, and that obviously becomes a big point of momentum changes, the Lightning only won 42.3% of their faceoffs. So Carolina was doing a really good job, and you can see why that hurts you when you lose a faceoff draw, especially in your defensive end, and they turn it into a goal.
And one thing I have a question about, was this the game that, this is a very niche thing for me to not remember, but I think it was Glenn Denning that was lined up and he got kicked out of that draw for some reason that we don't really know. Like, the linesman didn't indicate anything, but he just said, get out. He didn't even do the fake out, drop the puck. He just kicked Glenn Denning out of the circle. And then whoever actually took the draw lost it cleanly, and then Svechnikov scores it. I can't.
Was that two stall? Because, like, they were, Stahl was kind of dominating the zone. He basically went, you know, butted heads with him. Was it that faceoff?
It might have been. I'm not sure. And Eric Stahl is great in the faceoff circle. Him and Glenn Denning are two of the best in the league. But for whatever reason, Glenn Denning got kicked out of the draw, and then it ended up being, you know, that quick kind of weak goal. But it came off of a faceoff loss. But yeah, I'm picking one out of, you know, plenty.
I think you're right, because looking at the goal visualizer on NHL.com, it was the first goal the Canes scored, you can see the little 11 circle going away,
yeah,
and 28 coming in. So he did get thrown out of it. I cannot believe you remembered that. That's actually pretty
darn impressive. I can't either.
I didn't even remember that. So, yeah, he did get thrown out of that faceoff. Interesting. I don't know why he got thrown out.
Mish on the mic, he was not too happy about it, and which, you know, I'm just kind of echoing what he was saying. He's like, he didn't do anything to get kicked out. And we know how linesmen are, especially when it comes to the faceoff. They really do like to trick these players and test their mettle, see what they're going to do, I guess. I'm not sure.
It could be something that happened, you know, the linesman's telling them to hurry up and line up, hurry up and, you know, get set. And he's sitting there complaining that, mm-hmm, you know, Stahl's not in the appropriate spot. And if you complain too much in order to maintain control of the game, they will, you know, do something small like that to, you know, you're not the boss of me sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if he didn't get set,
hurt, so he had to throw somebody out.
Well, but I mean, also, he's not going to be walked all over. Like, if, you know, if he's trying to set the tone, set the tempo of how these faceoffs are going to be conducted, which you can influence that to a point, right? And then, you know, if you didn't see him false start, I wonder if that's what had happened. Like, he was complaining about where he was at and not willing to put his stick down first and got tossed.
to have access to the recordings of those mic'd up players so we can
God, I'd pay so much for that.
Oh, man, it would be great. Lightning struggled on the faceoffs, but, you know, at the end of the day, they got the 2 points in this one, and a big 2 points, especially not having to go to overtime thanks to points late heroics to get that goal. So a good start for the Lightning here against the Carolina Hurricanes. By the way, something interesting, too, I want to mention. This was the first giveaway of the season for the Lightning, which I thought was kind of interesting. I didn't even realize this until I got to the game. But yeah, first giveaway of the season. Technically, this game was supposed to be the first game, so I'm wondering if that giveaway was pre-planned for that, but it got pushed back. But anyway, just thought something that was funny that I should point out. They did do another giveaway against the Boston Bruins, which this was a massive game for the Lightning. With the division rival in town, the Lightning have been behind the Bruins, not because of points, but because Boston has had those overtime losses and the more games played. So the Lightning looking to try and finally pass them in the standings, and they played a really good game against the Bruins to take control in the Atlantic Division. They win this one 4-1. Cirelli, Isimont, Hagel, and Point are your goal scorers in this one. It got chippy towards the ends, guys, but a big win for the Bolts.
Before we dig into this game, should we talk about a future game that we're going to be playing against the Bruins? I feel like we're kind of burying the lead here.
You know, yeah, so did we not mention that last week?
I don't think we didn't know. Last week, we didn't exactly have it announced what the matchups were. We were kind of hoping, well, we gave what we wanted. You were wanting us to play Panthers, and I was saying I wanted us to play the Rangers. The Panthers should play the Bruins. But then we actually got, you know, if you want to make the announcement of, you know, who we're actually playing.
You're right, man. I'll be honest. I totally flipped my mind. You're right. The Lightning are officially playing the Boston Bruins in the 2026 outdoor game. This is a stadium series game. The Panthers have the quote-unquote Winter Classic, which we played on New Year's. Lightning taking on the Boston Bruins in Raymond James Stadium. So it's happening. It's real. That's super exciting for the Bolts. And, you know, as much as I want it to be the Florida Panthers, I don't hate playing the Boston Bruins because, as we saw in this game, this is two teams that don't like each other, so it should be a lot of fun. Although I am a little worried about how many Boston fans are going to be there, because holy cow, Boston fans like to show up down here in Tampa.
There was a lot of them in this game,
in this one, just for a regular season game. So, you know, take that as you will.
Where would you rather be in winter, like up in Boston or down here in Florida, where there's a good chance you might get 70 degree weather?
There's a reason I live down here. I much prefer it down here in Tampa, no question.
Yeah, and like, yes, there's going to be a lot of Boston fans here in Raymond James, but there's going to probably be a lot more Rangers fans and wherever the Panthers are going to be playing their outdoor game. You know, the Panthers fans are a lot more fair weather, and I got to say, there's probably a lot more New Yorkers down there, especially in that area of Florida as well. So I like our ratio of Bolts to Bruins fans better than the ratio of Rangers to Panthers fans. I've got to imagine that it's going to be at least half, if not more, blue down there than it's going to be black here.
I certainly hope so, because, you know, there's nothing worse than having your, you know, first outdoor game in Tampa, of all places, a place that nobody thinks that could be an outdoor game could be done, and you need to have a majority of Bruins fans. But at the end of the day, you hope that it's a good game, too. It's going to be a lot of fun for everybody. And if it was anything like the game it was against the Bruins in this one, good signs for the Lightning. You know, they get off to an early 2-0 lead in this game. Boston does eventually get one back to make it a one-goal game, but then they control that end of the third period with Hagel and Point both getting goals. Hagel under the empty net and Point on a late power play. Power play was not great in this game, and that's a theme I think we should talk about throughout these games. Power play a little iffy. You know, it was not great early on the season, which was kind of expected. It got a lot better. It's been struggling a little bit as of late, something to kind of keep your eye on. But again, the thing for me in this game is they held on, right? You know, they got out in front, got a little shaky, but they held the fort down and were able to cash in late in the third period. And hey, 2 points is 2 points, no matter how it comes.
Really fun game overall. Like I said last week, it's never boring playing the Bruins. It's always fun when you come out with a win too, but they're looking real rough this year. The only good part about their team right now looks to be Jeremy Swayman, and even he has his pretty rough nights. Like he played decent in this game, but he seems like he's the only thing going for them. Like, I'm not going to say that it was an easy win or anything, but the Bruins just look listless right now. I'm not sure what their issue is. Severe lack of depth probably is one of them. But yeah, the Lightning, it didn't really look like they struggled very much at all this game. Like, it seemed like one of the easier wins they had this season. Like you said, controlling the game and, you know, in a rare way that they were controlling the game down the stretch, you know, suffocating the other team and parking the bus probably better than any other game I have seen them play this year, too. So just always a good time. And then just the end of the game, the shenanigans there were really funny. Not often you get a power play goal after your empty net goal. And then just the whole Lilleberg and who is a Mark Kastelec fiasco at the end of the game, getting a 5-minute major with 2.5 seconds left in the game. I mean, I was just sitting there chuckling. I mean, how absurd is that? You're going to give a guy 5 minutes and there's 2.5 seconds left.
The penalty was by the book, though. I mean, like, it was a cross check to the face. The guy needed stitches from that cross check. So it's just a penalty by the book. It doesn't really matter in the long term, because Lilleberg didn't get suspended for it. So it's just the refs doing the call that they have to make. It was a really stupid play by Kastelec, trying to hit someone with 2 seconds left in the game. It's over, and he initiates contact on what probably would have been a charge, because it was so late and he was taking strides at a guy that, you know, he had, I don't know, I think it was a dirty play to start, and he kind of got what he had coming to him, right? But I will say, with this win, things are getting closer to being right in the world, because that knocks Boston out of the third place, allows the Lightning to move up, and the Ottawa Senators, with 3 games in hand on Boston, are now only 2 points behind them. And the only reason I really want the Senators to pass Boston is so that everything looks right with my goal differential to line up the way it's supposed to, because this has been bugging the crap out of me for I would say months now, right? For months, they've had a negative goal differential, Boston has, but it's still been in the top three for the division. So I'm happy to see them bombing down towards the bottom.
Not just a negative goal differential, Joe. They have a minus 26. Like, it's not even like it's just a little bit under. They're minus 26, and they've been sitting in third place for the longest time until this win for the Lightning. So it's
for perspective, that's fourth worst, I guess fifth worst in the league, with teams like San Jose and Anaheim and the Blackhawks being worse than them.
Daniel saying Boston may fall to the wild card spot. Absolutely. That's where they're sitting right now, and Ottawa's right behind them. So definitely a good chance for that, especially if they don't correct their play and things are not going well for Boston. But they are going well.
Don't look now. Montreal, they're also charging up in the standings as well. They've had a really hot start to the new year. I think they're like 8-2-0 in like their last 10 games, something like that. They're playing really, really good. And as you know, we saw, we were one of their victims too. So I think Boston's not making the playoffs this year. I'm not sure who gets the 2 wild card spots, but as Boston's falling, other teams are really rising. Columbus too, they're getting really hot. Ottawa, having their stretches. But yeah, Boston, they're not keeping that wild card spot.
As Dan just pointed out, he just mentioned Detroit. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize this. Detroit is on a 7-game win streak right now.
Yeah.
As the Lightning often like to say, there's a lot of ebbs and flows to the season, and this is, you know, one of them, where Boston, you know, loser points are only going to get you so far until they start to catch up to you. So some changes going on right now in the NHL, at least when it comes to the standings. Will it hold? I don't know. We'll see. But you know, something to keep your eye on right now. Good news for the Lightning is they sit in third place. So they got the 2 big wins at home and on home ice that we kind of talked about that they needed after a rough road trip. They come back home, they get 2 big wins, then have to head out back on the road once again. And in the first half of a back-to-back, Lightning heading to New Jersey to take on the Devils, a team that they've played before. These games typically have been a little weird against the Devils. This one was a close one. A final score of 3-2. The Lightning lose it in overtime. So they do get a point out of this game. Andre Palat scores first. Once again, your former Bolt scoring against the Lightning. Feels like it happens all the time. Hedman and Kucherov are your goal scorers for the Lightning. But guys, for me, this is a game that I thought the Lightning were lucky to get a point out of. I don't think they deserve the point in this game. I don't think they played that well. I thought the Devils kind of mostly controlled the flow of the game. especially getting outshot to 26-25. Not a ton of shots for the Lightning, but they do get a point out of it. Vasi making some big saves in this one.
I mean, that's a good way of putting it, to say that they didn't deserve to win. I mean, that's a good way of summarizing it. There is some really bad breakdowns, I thought, with the team during this game.
I'm kind of torn. I don't really think they deserve to even get it to overtime, but at the same time, I thought some of the calls were a bit shoddy in this game. Like, I'm usually not the one to blame refs, and even, you know, if some of these calls didn't go the Devil's way, you know, we still might not may even have it this close. But some of the calls were a little shoddy, especially that one in overtime against Nick Paul. I wasn't a huge, huge fan of. But anyways, yeah, no, this game was not the prettiest. I was listening to the radio broadcast during it, and Dave Michigan, again, just not very happy with the way the Lightning were playing. He was very animated in, you know, the first couple periods of the game. They got their stuff together later in the game, but yeah, we are pretty lucky to even walk away with a single point out of this one.
Turnovers were a major problem in this game for the Lightning. They led to a lot of odd man rushes, and luckily New Jersey did not capitalize on pretty much all the odd man chances. I think that they had maybe one, but turnovers were a major issue for the Lightning, especially early. Costly turnovers too.
Yeah.
We definitely saw Kucherov play like a really, I don't know if like lackadaisical game. He just didn't seem that engaged in a lot of it, in my opinion. And he kind of carried that over, throughout the weekend, even though he was putting points up and getting assists. I thought this was kind of a weird week for Kucherov.
Over the last couple of weeks, he's really looked like he is disengaged. And the craziest thing is, like you said, he still puts up points. He had a goal in this game and just still looks amazing while doing it. But yeah, the behind the back and no look passes to nothing. And, you know, even better, the other team, he's not looked like himself lately. And I don't know if it's, you know, the players, you know, his line mates just kind of forgetting how to play with Nikita Kucherov. It's not very easy, or he's just sending out dumb passes and turning the puck over, just being lazy. The line changes, especially, like, he just really dogs it when it's coming to getting off the ice. I know he's not the only one, but he makes it be known when he's feeling lazy, when he's playing PO'd and all this. Not his greatest performance, but none of the team really played great in this game other than, you know, maybe Vasilevsky, who kind of, you know, stole a point for us in this game, I'd say.
Yeah, you get to overtime, and then unfortunately the Lightning take a penalty, and it's really tough to win that in that situation. But to get a point, keep the point streak going is never a bad thing, especially when the Lightning are sitting and having games in hand. And they're one of those teams that do not have a lot of overtime losses, and that's a big reason. Again, that's why Boston was in front of Tampa for so long in the standings. Comment here from Daniel, by the way: how much money would you make betting on former Bolts to score against Tampa? A lot. I bet you a lot. Eureka did some digging behind the scenes in the background for us. Pallotta's two goals against the Lightning in eight games, four total points, so two goals, two assists.
How much money would you make on a prop bet for a specific player to score a goal in that game? Like, what are the odds on something like that?
I mean, it's hard to say because it, you know, it depends. Is the guy a high goal? Like, Kucherov is often 1.5 points, and he's -100 all the time to score a goal even, because he just scores that much. So it kind of depends on the player. Typically, for the most part, I would say for a goal, it's usually like +110, +150. If it's a really big shot.
So someone that's like a 20 goal scorer ends up being, you know, better than two, than like, would that be like almost 3-1, you'd say, your payout?
I'm trying to remember. I wish I could. I don't know what Palat sits around. But, yeah, probably like plus – I'd say Palat was probably like plus – maybe close to plus 200. Not about plus 300.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still, I mean, plus 200 means you'd earn $2 for the three, right? Like, you'd get – or for the $1 that you put in. I don't do a lot of betting, so, I kind of lose track of how it works.
But, yeah, so if it's plus 100 and you bet $100, you'd win $100. So plus 100 pays 200.
Well, wouldn't that be even money?
No, so plus even money. Well, yeah, even money, you double. So anything plus, you're getting on top of. So if it's plus 200, you bet 100, you would win $200.
In addition to the Okay. Well, at any rate, it's usually the guys that aren't prolific goal scorers that burn the bolts. You know, someone like Palat, who has over the years been a good goal scorer, but he's on pace for what, like, I don't think he's going to hit 30 this year, right? Then you've got guys like Matthew Joseph, who
getting has a hat trick.
Yeah, has a knack for scoring only on the Lightning. There's, you know, been a bunch of guys over the years that weren't big goal scorers that ended up putting up points. Killorn didn't get a goal. He just got an assist the other last week, right? So that would be a fun prop bet to make some money. You'd probably, you know, get it right more often than not.
Thank God we've played at the Wild both games this year, because Bogo is on a 3-game point streak, and just like everybody to know.
Only Matt would. Hey, look! Here's a comment from Daniel. That just came up. Yes, he did. That's betting funny. Points against former Lightning players to score points in games usually is a pretty good bet. But at the end of the day, the Lightning, they fight back in this one. They get it to overtime in a game that they probably shouldn't have gotten, and they end up getting a point. But then headed to Pittsburgh on the second half of their back-to-back with Jonas Johansson in net. Pittsburgh, not a good team in the standings this year. They've struggled. Last time the Lightning played the Penguins, they did win, but did not have the greatest of games. Kind of felt like that was going to be a similar situation again early in this game. But if you at least look at the final score, Lightning come out on top big in this one. Final score of 5-2. They get a couple of late empty net goals to really push the score up. Technically, it's a one-goal game in the third period before those two empty netters. Lightning win at 5-2. The big discrepancy in this one, guys, shots. 33 for the Penguins, just 19 for the Lightning. So I don't know. I'm going to ask you guys this. Would you argue that the Lightning were just that efficient that they got 5 goals on 19 shots? Or was it more of an issue that they should have been shooting more and gave up way too much?
I personally think it's that this was supposed to be the Penguins bouncing back from a bad game the night before, where they came out, all pissed off, like they put their hand in a bee's nest, and they came out on fire. But then they kind of fizzled and weren't able to continue that, you know, throughout the entire game. The first period shot differential, 2 shots on net for the Lightning, 14 for Pittsburgh.
Wow. Yeah, like the other games, I listened to the first period on the radio, and that was about the angriest I've heard Dave Michigan in probably a couple of years. I mean, I don't listen to it a whole heck of a lot, but yeah, he was irate. I mean, I was trying to visualize what all happened in that first period, and then I looked after, he gave us the update, 2-14 shots. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. And then the second period rolls around. I thought the Lightning came out a lot better. They still didn't get a whole heck of a lot of shots on net, but they controlled. They won that second period easily. Pittsburgh didn't really accumulate a whole lot more shots that period, at least nothing of like value. And then that third period rolls around, and it just seemed like nobody wanted to win, or, you know, both teams actually were playing good at the same time. But it was a tale of 3 different periods, it seemed, this whole game. But that first period, from what I could hear, the shot quality we were getting was not that great. We were just being outplayed what seemed to be in every single aspect, at least the way in the inflection that Dave was using. We did not really deserve to come out of this game with a regulation win, I'd say. Like, you know, we were lucky to get a point last game, and then this one, I don't even know how you escape with a regulation win.
Hey, listen, the deserved a win-o-meter may have been in the Penguins' favor, but the deserved a win-o-meter does not score goals. Hey, they got the win, and at the end of the day, a win's a win. It definitely wasn't a good game for the Lightning. Anytime you give up 33 shots and only put on 19, that's not a good sign right there. Lightning did not have a power play, by the way, in this game. Penguins had 3 of them. They went 1-for-3 there, so something a little interesting to keep in mind. But, you know, to get 4 out of 3 points on a back-to-back, that's the big thing, right? That's huge for the Lightning to get 4 to 3 points. That's really, really hard to do, even if you didn't play great. And
to turn around the last week, you get no points and you only miss out on 1 point of the 4 games that they played. That was a great bounce back week for the team.
Absolutely, 100%. Question here from Beverly, who asks, what do you make of Geeky sitting out? I don't make much of it. I believe he's potentially dealing with a, you know, a little bit of an injury. And, you know, sometimes, especially in these back-to-backs, you want to give guys break, especially the younger guys sometimes. I don't think it's anything major. Hopefully nothing, a bigger issue. We'll kind of see as this week goes on. I would expect to be back right back in there against Boston. So I don't think it's a major red flag at all.
No, it's not a red flag. I think, you know, it's probably a good thing that we rest him. Like, I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, he hasn't, you know, came out with that same jolt that he started the season with. We're officially at the halfway mark now, and a lot of these young guys aren't used to playing, you know, so many games too. So even if he wasn't, you know, I hate to say playing bad. He wasn't playing bad, but he just wasn't looking as good as he was earlier in the season. You know, a day or a couple games off or something like that, get some rest and, you know, maybe build your confidence back up. It could be a good thing for him. Because, again, him with Tony Cirelli and Brandon Hagel, that line does go crazy, but you could tell. He was starting to bobble pucks a little bit, not being able to handle a whole lot. The skating still needs some work, so hopefully a couple days off will be a good thing for him. But with the Gonsalves going on waivers, I got to imagine he'll probably be cracking the lineup again here soon, probably tomorrow.
Yeah, certainly. And you kind of took a little bit more merciful of the tack of saying that it was giving him some time to rest, where from a coaching aspect, you could also say that you're trying to hold him more accountable for his time and say, hey, sit this one out. We need you back to be playing stronger and better. And sometimes that is that little kick in the ass is something that a player will need in order to get back up to the second line, because he was pretty much playing mostly on the third line for a little while here.
If I'm not mistaken, the Lightning have done this a lot too, especially before a game like against Boston. You want your guys to be rested up and ready to go for a game like that, especially because the last one was chippy at the end. You know that's going to be a physical game. And if you got Geeky out there struggling a little bit and then playing a back-to-back, you know, it's that usually doesn't end well. So I think it's a good thing for him to get some rest here at the end of the day. Comment here from Daniel. Eric Erlandson seemed to imply that the team wasn't impressed with Gage, and another forward call it may be coming. Yeah, I don't know. We haven't heard anything as of yet. Again, I don't know if it's got anything to do with Moser, because JJ Moser did travel with the team on this road trip. So maybe, fingers crossed, he could come back for the Boston game. There's nothing been confirmed. I don't know that, but that's my hope. I don't actually remember off the top of my head what the cap situation is, if they have to send somebody down, but my hope with Moser would be coming back pretty soon. But we'll find out soon enough here. There's no question about that.
I mean, just like with Geeky, his play falling off a little bit, I genuinely, with his time up at the NHL, I wasn't overly impressed with Gonsalves. Like, I know he's a young guy, too. He's a little bit older for a young guy, but he didn't really do a whole lot for me. He did a lot of busy nothing out there, you know, kind of on a relegated role, but you haven't established yourself as an NHLer. I hate to use it as a comparison, but when I said busy nothing, Connor Sherry kind of popped into my mind. We're just not doing a whole lot. He's, you know, not necessarily a net negative, but you're definitely not a net positive. You're just kind of doing cardio out there. And that was kind of the vibe I'd get from Gonsalves. And I get it. You're a young
guy. I really
guy.
Like that. He's just doing cardio out there. I mean, really like that.
But it just seemed like, you know, he never really had the puck on his stick. And if he did, you know, it'd bobble off and he's just kind of skating around, not pressuring guys or anything. Undersized. He's not really hitting, doing really much of anything of substance. So he might need some more time in the pressure cooker. He might not be NHL ready, but there are better players that can step into this role.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if somebody gets called up relatively soon here for the Lightning with the game coming up tomorrow. I would expect that news would come out pretty soon if we are going to get somebody up. Hey, maybe each Gonsalves turns into some kind of trade bait potentially for the Lightning as well. Something to keep your eye on with the trade deadline. Still a little ways away, but, you know, we'll sneak them on you relatively quick. But a good week for the Lightning as they get a bunch of points, get a nice couple of wins, and they are right back up into third place in the standings. Time for our three stars of the week, though, guys, and there were a lot of players that were probably deserving of this award, especially when you look at just pure points-wise. A lot of guys up there, like Nikita Kucherov, 3 goals, 4 assists for 7 points, but he is not going to be the first guy on this list for us. Our number three star of the week, is none other than the goaltender Andre Vasilevskiy, who gets the number three star of the week. Really solid for him. Three games played, two wins, an overtime loss, save percentage of .929, and a goals against average of 1.97. We talked about a lot of him in the New Jersey game, made some big saves throughout a lot of these games, and he gets the third star of the week.
I think that he did a great job bouncing back, as I mentioned, the entire team did from such a abysmal week prior to this one. That's hard to do psychologically to get your head in the game, and Vasi did an amazing job of that. The first two starts, .935 save percentage, then a .964, and then they played the Devils, who are a really good team, and he, you know, still was able to help the team to a point. He made a lot of saves that were, you know, I always say the goaltender needs to, in order to go deep, the goaltender needs to make all the saves you expect them to, and then a few that you don't. And he was making those few that you don't during this stretch.
And I don't even think he really bounced back, like you said, Joe. I don't think he was any part of the problem last week, that little losing skid there. But just good to see that he upped his game, definitely. And like we said, maybe he stole a couple of these games, you know, at least stole 1 point from the New Jersey game. And I guess it was JoJo that played the Pittsburgh game. Honorable mention, he played really well that game, too. But just your cool, calm, and consistent big cat that we all know and love. I'm glad to see him back and rounding out to the guy we all know.
Anytime the big cat is out there on the ice, you know your team's got a chance to win, and that's why he gets the number three star of the week. Now, for our number two star of the week, it's a guy that didn't have a lot of points on the board, but boy, did he make an impact this week. Two goals, one assist for 3 points, and was a whopping plus +7 in these four games played. It's none other than Anthony Cirelli. He gets the second star of the week. Guys, it's been a little bit since he's been on the Stars. I think since he went fishing with my dad and we ran with that little joke. But he's back on here. A great week for him, especially on the penalty kill.
Oh, boy. Tony Cirelli, where do I start? I love this guy. He's having such a good year, too. And, you know, despite him maybe not making this list in a couple of weeks, he's still playing just awesome. He's on a torrid pace. Ever since I picked him up on my fantasy team, I've not dropped him. There's been a couple of games where I don't start him, and every time I don't start him, he just lights it up. And likewise, with this game with the shorthanded goal, I had him on my bench. I should really stop benching him because he really is just scoring, maybe not at will, but he's just a shorthanded king.
It sounds like you need to bench him more. What are you talking about? Please keep going.
Okay. I'll keep him on the bench. But even when I start him, he's just playing great. You know, he's not really a hitter or anything, but he just accumulates stats too, especially with when you have face-offs counting towards points. I'll stop with the fantasy and everything like that, but... Boy, he is my pick for the Selke right now. He's just playing as good as any defensive center in the league is right now. I think his numbers are comparable, maybe even better than Sasha Barkov, who is overrated. Anthony Cirelli, eternally underrated.
I mean, especially considering what he was doing last year, and I was obviously extremely critical of his performance last year. This year, I love what he's doing. I love the way he's working. Putting Hagel with him full time has been, it's pretty much transformed our PK, I think, because now it's like a legitimate scoring threat, game in and game out. That they're at least going to get an opportunity. If there's two penalty kills, I'll say, in a game, I can pretty much guarantee that either Hagel or Cirelli is going to have a shot on net, which is insane to think about. So the work that he's been doing without it just being 5-on-5 play, I think has been a real difference maker in terms of how well the Bolts have been playing overall. Because until, I want to say it was the Jersey game, they got scored on the power play, but that was the first game in like 8 games or something that we allowed a power play goal or like where we were shorthanded and allowed a goal. That's nuts. And it's a play by Cirelli that's really helping drive that, as well as, someone else's that we can maybe mention.
I believe that they tied a franchise record for the most games in a row where they did not give up a power play goal. Really, really good stretch for those guys. that shorthanded goal from Cirelli this week was great because Hagel had a breakaway on that and he missed the net. And then Cirelli quickly followed it up as the puck came right to him and he put it in. So both those guys getting in the action, boy, that Four Nations team is going to have some fun on their penalty kill of their own because they will have both those guys in that tournament as well. But Cirelli, very well deserved second star of the week, especially when you get a plus seven. I don't think a Lightning player has done that in decades. So good for him to get up that high on that stat. But our number one star of the week, I think by far, had the best week out of anybody. He was scoring goals. He was setting guys up. He was doing good when it comes to the plus minus stat. And that is none other than Brandon Hagel. Hagel with a fantastic week, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points, and was a plus 6. Man, this guy was scoring and just having a great, great week. He had some clutch goals too, and I think it's a no-brainer for him to get the first star of the week, guys.
He's been crushing it. He's been killing it. I mean, basically everything I could say about Cirelli in terms of the penalty kill directly applies to Hagel equally. You know, they've been such a great tandem together. And kind of unlike Cirelli, though, Brandon Hagel is a guy that always sticks his nose in and stirs stuff up. He's someone that's like a spark plug to the team. And, you know, you won't often see him take a game off. Like, you can obviously tell when Kucherov does, and Brandon Hagel's been really consistent, I think, with the majority of his play. And this week, you know, he hits pay dirt in terms of points with it.
And just the shenanigans that ensued at the end of that Carolina game was enough to get him my first star. But then just all the numbers that he had to back it all up to. I think I said it in the chat that Brandon Hagel is the best thing to ever happen to Anthony Cirelli. Those two as a duo could be, you know, stars on this list every week. It almost seems like they are now. Man, your bold prediction a couple of years ago of Hagel's a 30-goal scorer, well, he's on pace for 40 this year. So, I mean, just what a player he is, both of them together, but just specifically Brandon Hagel, like you said, he's just a pest. He is just, oh God, teams hate him because they don't have him. He's not like Marchand level hate, but man, he gets under these other teams' skin, and he's just so good at doing it. And then just every other part of the game, every other aspect of the game, he excels at. He just grows as a player every single game, every single day. I can't. The sky is the limit with this guy. He's so talented. I'm just gushing right now.
Honestly, don't you dare compare him to Marchand. I think that's a disrespect to Brandon Hagel. He's so much better than that. Come on now, Matt.
Sorry.
A great week from Brandon Hagel. He was fantastic. And you're right. My prediction, you know, I thought that was a crazy prediction. And when he hit that, I was freaked out. But, like, he's doing even better. At what point does he get into the conversation of becoming one of the best traded for players in Lightning history? Obviously, you know, you got some big names on that list, like the Ben Bishop move. But Brandon Hagel, I mean, that trade has been paying off in spades for the Lightning, especially considering he's locked up long-term. He has been fantastic. I think he's a future captain one day, maybe even. He's been doing really, really well. But there are your three stars. CR here says, honorable mention to Lilleberg. He was getting in there physicality-wise, so definitely something to notice from him. But your three stars of the week from us are going to be Vassy, Cirelli, and Hagel. Let us know down in the comments below. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We'd love to hear what you guys have to say as well. Before we look ahead here, guys, there's been a couple of comments that have been going off in the chat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and joining the conversation, by the way, as well. But do want to get to this. Going back to our conversation about who could potentially be the call-up, well, I'm excited to bring these comments up, because do you guys know who is leading the Syracuse Crunch in points for forwards right now?
Unfortunately, I peeked, so I know, but if I didn't look, I would have no idea.
Here's the comment from Daniel. He looked it up. Sherry, Connor Sherry leads the forwards in points right now. Connor Sherry could be the guy coming back. Oh, maybe his redemption arc starts when he comes back up against Boston. Would be a weird one for him to come back up against. But
I don't think it'll be Boston just because, you know, it's going to be a brutally physical game and he's a little bit undersized. But, I mean, if he's getting his scoring touch back, then, you know, that could be something that would be very valuable to the Lightning going down the stretch here.
Or maybe he's just a really good AHL forward. Again, you know, he's played, what, over 100 games with this team and has maybe a handful of points. I think the Sherry experiment is over. There's a reason why he is firmly in Syracuse right now.
I don't know, Matt. We like to keep our AHL point scorers and keep giving them chances. You know, we have a history of that.
Are you talking about one named ABB? Is that who maybe you're referring to with all those changes?
I'm just saying that was a very long experiment. You know, that was dedication.
It indeed was. Also, Daniel brought this up here in saying in Prospect Watch, I think Isaac Howard is leading college hockey in goals. Yes, he is having a very good year right now. I believe it's 18 goals, 15 assists, 33 points, I believe is what he's at. So he is doing extremely well. So the Iceman, hopefully, you know, in a couple of years can get closer and closer to becoming one of the top players for the Lightning and a guy that's going to get called up. By the way, also, Daniel noticed, too, to be fair, Dylan Duke is only a point behind Sherry. So, hey, listen, Duke would be a fun one to get called up, too. He was a draft pick, what, 2-3 years ago? He was just on shameless plug, the Bolt Report podcast, and maybe a little boost there for Dylan Duke being on the podcast. I would love to see him get called up, but
if you didn't plug it, I would have.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Matt. It'll be interesting to see what the Lightning do, especially with Boston right around the corner and that being a physical game. We'll be sure to talk about it right here, though, for you guys when we do find out all of that information. All right, look ahead for the Bolts. We've been talking about it a lot. Boston up next for the Lightning in Boston this time around at 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Then they will come back home for two games against the Ducks on Thursday. That one also at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then on Saturday, they will take on the Detroit Red Wings at 7 p.m. Eastern. So two home games. And then the next week, we have that really weird week of the two back-to-backs. Hopefully we'll be back before those games to preview all that and have a show for that. But the three games upcoming for the Lightning here, Boston, Anaheim, and Detroit. So I would say two big games, you know, with Boston, again, a division opponent. Detroit has been playing really well, as we talked about earlier. The Ducks, technically not a good team on paper, but they just beat us. So a game you got to watch out for.
I mean, you see a game to watch out for, but I don't think the Lightning are going to let that happen twice. I think that was really just a fortunate outcome for the Ducks with the scheduling and just the big momentum swing. Because if the Lightning beat Boston, you figure they're basically on a pretty big point streak at that point. And if they lose to Boston, I would love for them to just take it out completely on the Ducks, which I pretty much can guarantee they'll do. So I like the odds for Thursday night's game.
I really hope you do like those odds, and I hope you're accurate, because I'm going to that game. I hope even if they do beat up on Boston, they can carry some of that momentum through the rest of the week. Because, again, Detroit capping off the week, like we learned earlier, they're on a 7-game heater after firing Derek Lalonde. I think they're 1-7. Like, they lost their first game and then 7 in a row. So hopefully if somebody doesn't do it, we can put them, put an end to their little win streak here, because Tampa historically owns Detroit. Maybe not so much recently, but I'd be really, really excited to see, you know, maybe 6 points out of the possible six. That's very wishful thinking, but please don't disappoint me against Anaheim. Not while I'm there.
Well, Matt, what is your record when you're down out there? Do you have a good record in Lightning games right now?
It actually is a pretty good record. The ticket package I got last year was 10 games, and it was 8-2. So it's pretty good.
There you go. Not bad. Well, hopefully Lightning.
Well, I was just going to say, so the Red Wings are playing the Sharks at home on tomorrow night, and then they play the Panthers on Thursday. So I don't think that they're going to let one up to the Sharks, even though the Sharks have been, you know, kind of pushing back a little bit, you know, but they will have their chance with the Panthers on Thursday before we play them on Saturday.
It's going to be an interesting week for the Lightning. They're trying to climb back in the standings right now. We'll have it all recapped right here for you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in with us once again. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Ring that bell for notifications so you don't miss out on future episodes just like this one. Follow us on social media so you know when we go live. You can join the conversation with us as well. And finally, hit that share button and share it with someone if you did enjoy this episode. But that's going to do it for us this week, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time. Go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.